Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've taken a look at the title in your bulletin this morning, it's not what I'm going to be preaching on. My title is He Will Separate, and it is based on the same passage from Matthew chapter 25, but I'm going obviously in a little bit different direction. Well, in the book of Exodus, the Lord tells Moses to lead the people of Israel through the Red Sea. And he told Pharaoh before that, he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all of his host. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Well, it's Pharaoh who thinks that he's the heavyweight, and the Egyptians and even the Israelites think that Pharaoh is a heavyweight. But the Lord will show them that Pharaoh is really a lightweight. In fact, he's nothing. Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and especially the Israelites, will know that it is the Lord their God who is the heavyweight. He is the heavy one against whom all the rulers of this world put together are like a feather. Like a feather that's blowing in the wind, and all of the so-called gods are nothing but a breath. But the Lord fills heaven, and he fills the earth. He is all in all. He's that heavy. He's that substantial. And that is his glory. I believe that he will come again with weight. And it's certainly not that the Lord needed to put on some weight, or he had to become heavy, for he is who he is. And he is what I would call the weighty one. But when he appeared to us the first time, we certainly didn't see that glory, did we? What we saw was a little baby, a mere man, a weakling. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not, as Isaiah 53 says. When he comes again, though, we will see him. We will see him as the heavy one. For he will come again with his glory. So I put this question to you this morning. What is unbelief? What is idolatry? Well, it's to give to something more weight than it actually has, and to give to God less weight than he actually has. Our first parents did that, Adam and Eve. They were certainly guilty of idolatry. They gave weight and more weight to the word of the serpent than they did to the word of God at that time in the Garden of Eden. And they glorified Satan over God. Well, how about us gathered here today? Is the word of the Lord the heaviest thing in our life, or is there another word that bears more weight in the decisions that each and every one of us make? And the actions that we take in our daily lives. You know, but just as God got his glory over Pharaoh, he also will get his glory over Satan. And the whole creation, every man, woman, and child, all of us gathered here this morning, we will give to the Lord the glory that is due his name. And so when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And before him will be gathered all the nations. And it says that he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The Son of Man comes in his glory. We talk about that as a time of judgment. He comes again to judge between the living and the dead. But in our passage today, instead of the word judgment, Jesus uses the word separation. He's going to separate people one from another. He had spoken to the disciples about this before time also. And the chaff will be separated from the grain, the weeds will be separated from the wheat, the good fish separated from the bad fish. And here it is. In this passage, the sheep that are separated from the goats. And until that judgment, that final day comes, the sheep and the goats We're all mixed together, aren't we, here on this earth? Both receive the rain and the sunshine. Both get the same colds and flus and diseases that are out there. Both have the same family problems, car problems, money problems. Both die, and both rise in the resurrection of all the flesh on that last day. And both are going to be gathered by the Lord in His glory, who sits on His glorious throne. And then the separation is going to take place. Just as He did in the creation, as He separated the light from the darkness and the water from the land, He's going to separate people one from another. Separating is what the Lord does, and He does it very well, and He will do it correctly. But when we talk about separating things in our own lives, we do it kind of poorly. We separate people one from another according to race, or maybe according to income level, or their education level, or perhaps their political affiliation. We even separate people by religious denominations. And sometimes in marriage, we separate what God has joined together. But every time Christians have either tried to separate themselves from the world of unbelief and sin, or they separate from unbelievers and sinners from the congregation, we kind of make a terrible mess out of it all. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and He is seated on His glorious throne, He's going to separate people one from another based on only one criteria and one criteria only. And that is this: those who are blessed by My Father and those who are not. Those who are blessed by My Father are separated out from all the nations, and they are placed. Pastor Allman, at which hand, the right or the left? They'll be placed at the right hand. That is correct. The right hand of the King is always a position of favor. And when our Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, where did He sit? But He sat at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Well, how is it? How does the Son of Man know just exactly who is blessed by My Father? He knows by our works. I was hungry and You gave me food. I was thirsty and You gave me drink. I was naked and You clothed me. I was sick and You visited me. I was in prison and You came to me. You see, my dear friends, faith and works go together, so to speak, hand in hand. They weren't blessed by My Father because of their good works. They did good works because they were blessed by the Father. In fact, the thought that they were actually serving Jesus never really crossed the minds of those people. If you remember, they asked the question, "When did we see You?" Well, they, like us, they were very confident. They were confident that their salvation was by grace alone, based on the Word and the promise of God. And that made them completely free to focus their attention entirely on their neighbor, as it should for each and every one of us. And on the other hand, that is the left hand. There are going to be those who, as the passage said, are cursed, because the left hand is a place of dishonor and shame, or as Jesus describes it, the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for man. God desires what? That all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. But there are those out there that refuse that grace of God, and they will not give the Lord the glory which is due His name. And the passage tells us what their punishment will be. They will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And this is what I call the separation. And it will take place when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels that were with Him. And He will sit on His glorious throne. And after that separation is complete, the good and the evil will no longer be mingled together. The Lord will look on everything that He has made, and once again, it will be very good. So which one are you this morning? Are you the sheep, or are you the goat? Are we blessed by our Father, or are we cursed? Are we a saint, or are we a sinner? Isn't that what we usually try to apply this lesson to our lives? Which one are we? Well, it was in holy baptism that God gave us His Holy Spirit. We were born again, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And the Spirit of God lives in us. And we are children of God. And there are times, unfortunately, though, that we act not like the children of God. And there are times that we certainly do. For the Word of God carries a proper weight in our hearts and in minds, and we live lives that are holy. And we are the sheep. But unfortunately, there are also times when we give others' words and other gods more weight than we do the Lord and His Word. Aren't these the times when that description of these goats fits us to a T? You know, if we were actually keeping score, I bet you we'd find out that the makeup of our lives would look something like 99 parts goat and 1 part sheep. And as hard as we try, we cannot separate the goat in us so that we may be sheep that we want to be. We want to do good. We want to resist the devil. But it is also a constant battle. And I don't think it gets any easier for us, even as we grow older. We want to be more loving, but only if the price is not too steep. We want to heal the wounds of those who have inflicted those on us, but we cannot swallow our pride. And sometimes it's very hard for us to say, I'm sorry. We forgive the one who has sinned against us, but we can't separate ourselves from the memories of what they did to us and the pain that we suffered. And what turmoil within us, particularly those memories that create in us and our lives. And we are terribly tangled, and we are mingled. We are a mingled mess of saint and sinner. How we wish we could do the separating right here and now, and we try. But sometimes it never works out, at least not for very long. The great apostle St. Paul said, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. But these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. The old sinful flesh, which is the goat, is always working to keep us from doing the things that are the child of God, that the child, God's child, as God's child, He wants us to do. And the Spirit of Christ who lives in us is always at work to keep us from doing the things that our old sinful nature wants us to do. And so we have a battle going on constantly within our lives. And Paul again describes this battle this way. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. From Romans chapter 7. And that is why believers long for the Son of Man to come in His glory with His angels and to sit on His glorious throne. For when He comes, He will do His work of separating as only He can do. He will separate the saint from the sinner. And for His Christians, that is an eternal separation. Our old sinful nature, which we call the spirit of the flesh, that's going to always be working to separate us from Christ. But when Christ comes again, that spirit will be separated from us. And it'll be thrown into the eternal fire, prepared for the evil, for the devil and his angels also. And the struggles will be over for us, and we will have that peace that Jesus was talking about when he said, "Peace, peace I give to you, my peace I give you." For on that day, my dear friends, we will know for the very first time the joy of loving our Lord, our God, with all of our heart, and all of our soul, and all of our mind. And that, my dear friends, will be a very glorious day. But in the meantime, until that last day comes, we live with the eternal tension between being a saint and being a sinner that we are. We do not live without hope, as some men do. This is not a battle between two equal powers. Jesus Christ is the heavy one. He is the glorious one. And it is by his death and his resurrection, he has already won that war, and he has triumphed over everything that wants to separate us from him. No matter how desperate that internal struggle gets for each and every one of us, that battle between spirit and the spirit of God and the spirit of the devil, battle between saint and sinner, we have a powerful God. Because he told us, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. No matter how feebly we resist. And so, in conclusion, we hear these words, "Come you who are blessed by my Father, and receive the inheritance which was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And you, prayerfully and joyously and loudly, can respond as the children of God with a loud Amen."